scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its powers. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to who are being saved, it is the power of God.
コリント人への手紙第1章17節から18節。キリストが私をお使わしになったのはバプテスマを授けさせるためではなく福音を述べ伝えさせるためです。それもキリストの十字架が虚しくならないために、言葉の知恵によってはならないのです。十字架の言葉は滅びに至る人々には愚かであっても、救いを受ける私たちには神の力です。
Morning.
Morning.
How are you doing? Happy New Year. Do you guys have a good New Year's?
Yes.
Were you?
Friday.
New Year's resolution. You guys been able to keep it so far? Yes. No. Yeah. Last week I talked about expectation, and Min brought it up, and I hope that. Amen. The Lord is going to do something great. So I asked the Lord for expectations for this coming year. And I clearly heard just one thing, and so I'm going to ask Him for more. But one thing I did hear about when I asked the Lord for expectation was spiritual growth. Amen. I feel the Lord is going to grow us spiritually, which will affect every area of our lives. Amen. You know, we think, oh, I wish the Lord would grow me financially, or I wish the Lord would grow me in more anointing, or more power, or more authority. But it starts with spiritual growth. If you grow spiritually, everything else follows. If you seek first the kingdom, all these things shall be added unto you. So when I ask the Lord spiritual growth, I mean, when I ask the Lord for expectation and He says spiritual growth, I hope you guys get excited. Amen. So this is the first Sunday of the year, and let me tell you, you are off to a good start. You're here at church. Amen. Right? What better place is there to be on a Sunday morning than worshiping the Lord? So if your New Year's resolution was to be at church, you're here. Praise God. And you know, I was struggling to come up with a worthy sermon for today. It is the first sermon of 2013. Wow, that sounds weird. And so, you know, there's a lot of things you could talk about the first Sunday of the year, such as first fruits. You know, the Bible talks about first fruit offering, first fruit giving, and basically giving the first of what you have to the Lord as a sign of worship and trust and faith. Giving the Lord the first fruit. I could have spoke on that. Or I could have spoke on a passage in Isaiah, a prophecy that says, the old things have gone. The past is gone. Behold, I am doing a new thing within your midst. And that would have preached real good, right? For this year. But I felt the Lord say, talk about the cross. The cross of Christ. And I felt that is not something we should just speak on. You know, Easter. When I talk about the cross, maybe the first thing that comes to mind is Easter. Oh, that's an Easter message. But the cross is foundational to our faith. Perhaps even the cornerstone of the entire Christian faith is the cross. The blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus going to the cross, dying for our sins. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I didn't come to baptize, I didn't come with eloquence of speech, but I came to preach the cross. Let me read that. 1 Corinthians. I lost my place. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read from 22. It says, Jews demand a sign and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. I believe the revelation of the cross will transform our lives if we embrace it. Paul says it clearly that there's no one Jewish. Is there anyone Jewish here today? Okay. Just making sure. Okay, so, you know, Paul says, you know, the cross is a stumbling block to Jewish people and foolishness to Gentiles. Now, I'm not going to get into all of why it's a stumbling block and foolishness. But I believe even for Christians, the cross has become somewhat cliche. It's become a fashion statement, or it's become superstitious. But Paul says the cross is the power. There is power in the cross. The blood shed on the cross. There is power in the cross. That's what Paul preached. He preached the message of the cross. And if we don't stumble upon the message of the cross, and if we don't see it as foolishness, there is power. Power to transform your lives. Power not just to transform your lives, power to transform your family. Not just your family, power to transform your city. Power to transform this nation. You know, on the news, Aurora is back on the news again, right? You guys heard about that? That's a hostage situation. Four shot. The person that took the family or the people in hostage, he was shot and killed. And you know, of course, what's going to happen? They're going to talk about more gun laws, right? They're going to talk about, oh, we need more gun laws, we need more laws and more of this and more of that. But the answer is Jesus. The message of the cross, that's the answer. That will transform the city, the town. I don't know if it is it a town. That will transform Aurora. It is the message of the cross that will transform Tucson. You know, there's just so much going on in Tucson, and as a pastor, I'm a little overwhelmed. But you know, there's a lot of human trafficking. It seems like in Tucson, there's a lot of financial debt in Tucson. There's just a lot of problems in Tucson. But there is an answer. There is hope and a possibility. I want you to catch this. There is a hope and a possibility that Tucson can be transformed. Amen. That it could turn to God. And it is only through the cross of Christ again. That is the Lord calling us. He is calling us today. Amen. If anyone will hear, will answer their cell phone. Answer the door. But the Lord, I believe the Lord is calling us. He is calling the church not just to look inwardly, but to look at heaven's resources and learn how to access it and learn how to bring it into a city. Learning to apply the cross to our lives will release the love and power of God. If we embrace it, what it does is it plugs us in to the source of love. When we come to the cross, it plugs us in to God. And the scripture says, God is love. And because it releases God's love, because in Colossians 1:20 it says, through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Basically, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we can be reconciled to God. Amen? That we can get plugged back in to the source of power, to the source of love. Again, I don't want to give more glory to the enemy than he deserved by bringing these things up, but the world will continue to get darker and worse the longer it's separated from the source of love. You know, it says in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth and God created humans, that He made them in the image of God. And so there is love even in non-Christians. I believe that. You know, humans are fallen, marred, but there is that image left. But the longer it is disconnected from the source of love, the darker it will become. And so Jesus prophesied that in the last time that it will get darker, that people will become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And it's happening. It's happening with these shootings, these killings of, you know, suicide, and all of these things are increasing because of the love of self rather than the love of God. And if we learn to get connected, to apply the cross in our lives, the cross that reconciles us and gives us a way back, a connection to love, then it will release the love of God, the power of God in your life, and not just in your life, but in this community, amen, in this family. Yeah, it's interesting. The Bible says something interesting. It says, God releases His strength in our weakness. You know, God will release His strength and power in every area of our lives. Amen? But He says, in our weakness, His strength is made perfect. Imagine that. You bring your weakness anywhere else, and they'll exploit it, they'll make fun of it, they'll pick at it. It will be a point of attack. Our weaknesses are a lot of times a place of shame or discouragement or rejection. But when we bring our weaknesses to God, what does He say? He says, great, I'm glad you brought me your weakness, because that's where my strength is made perfect. And I'm talking about the cross today because I believe it is foundational. But to be honest, I didn't, when I was thinking about something to speak out, I didn't say, well, the cross is good because it's foundational. That's not why I'm talking about the cross today. I'm talking about the cross today because, I don't know, I think it was last week. I'm not sure exactly when. But I'll just say last week. Last week, I was sleeping, and in my dreams, and man, I've been having a lot of dreams lately, but in my dreams last week, I felt, I don't know if it was the Lord talking or somebody talking, but it was this dream where it says, you know, Christians, and especially myself, I think maybe He was talking to a group of us or just to me personally, you don't apply the cross to your life enough. And in my dream, I remember saying, okay, Lord, I just apply the cross in my life. And when I did that, I just felt a surge of God's presence come up upon me. And so I was like, I need to talk on the cross. And so today I'm talking about the cross. And, you know, the cross is the source of God's love and power. But in Colossians 2:14-15, it says about the cross, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. Not only do we get connected back to God because of the cross, because of the blood shed, but according to Colossians 2:14-15, we are legally set free of our spiritual debts. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We are legally set free of our debt. Spiritual debt. Keep on paying your credit card debt. I'm not talking about that. We are legally set free of our spiritual debt. You don't have to raise your hand. But how many of you have debt in your life? How many of you have... Well, maybe this is the wrong group to say this, but you know, my wife and I, we've how many of you have school debt? Right? Really? You still? I'm not gonna say it. But my wife and I, we went to school and we have a lot of debt because of school. And praise God, I thank you JCCT because you guys pay me well. But I'm just saying, man, my wife, she got a letter in the mail by accident one time saying, your school loans have been paid off in full. It was an accident though. I don't know if you guys have mortgages, car loans, whatever. Some of you are too, I hope you don't have any debt. Some of you may be too young to have debt. But imagine if someone said, all of your debt are paid in full. Hallelujah, amen. Right? Praise yeah. God. Jesus, the word says here that our spiritual debt is paid in full. On this side of eternity, it's hard to fathom what that means. Because we don't see it. Spiritual debt, what's spiritual debt? But every sin, every shortcoming, every imperfection, there's a price to be paid. Who pays for it? Scripture said the Lord paid for it. Every sin, every mistake. And so let me tell you this. The voice that we hear that shames us and condemns us for every sin, every shortcoming, every mistake, that is not from the Lord. Because he said, I paid for it. Every sin, every shortcoming, every mistake, every imperfection has a price to be paid. And so a lot of times when something bad happens to us, we like to say, well, I deserved it. And it's true. Except God paid for it. It is not true anymore that you deserve it. That voice that says, I deserve that, is not from God. Because he has wiped away the condemnation. There is now no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want you to start this year with that in mind. There is now no more condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is a good way to start the year off. The voice that you hear that has shame and condemnation, I want you, the Lord is calling, I'm telling you. I want you to say no to that voice. I deserve it, say no to that voice. We deserve that, say no. You know, we don't even know how good we have it until we get to heaven. because God has canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. Amen. And I'll end with this thought, though. You know, I'm not saying that if you ever feel bad about sinning, that's not of God. That probably is of God. If you're about to sin, or if you're in sin and your conscience is convicting you of it, that is God. Listen to that. But that voice which draws you into your addictions, that voice which draws you into those things that are you know aren't good, that's not of God. That which drives you to that is not from God. Because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It's going to be wonderful. Let me tell you, for those of you who are going through a lot of hardship right now, it is going to be wonderful in heaven. But the cross is not a golden ticket into heaven. The scripture reading we had, it said, it is the power of God for us who are being saved. Could have easily been said, who have been saved, but it's a continual, progressive saving for us who are continually being renewed, continually being saved. The cross of Christ that connects us back to God, that disarms and cancels the legal indebtedness we have because of sin, is the power of God that is transforming us, that is continuing to save us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. By His wounds you have been healed. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I do believe that if we apply the cross and the blood that was shed by Jesus to our lives, we will continually be transformed. That our bodies, our mind, our spirit, our soul will continually be renewed and transform from glory to glory to glory. Should I stop now? Should I just keep going? Keep going. Oh my gosh, wow. That's a lot of pressure now. You know, I'll just leave you with this. As you go through 2013, and as you feel shame come upon you, you know, as all of us have weaknesses, amen? Am I the only one? No? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm... I might be the only one. That's why God uses me. Because His strength is made perfect in my weakness. As we go through 2013, and you feel those things come up, shame, condemnation, weaknesses, apply the cross to it. Tell that voice, whatever it is, you don't have to say it out loud, you can say it to yourself, but say, the Lord paid for it. Amen. He paid for it. I apply the cross to my life. And just like in my dream, I believe the presence of God will come upon you. The power of God will come upon you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for the cross. Father, we are so indebted to You, Lord. Jesus, You willfully bore the cross for our lives. bore the cross, Lord, for our sin, for our death. You paid it in full, Lord, on the cross. Every mistake, every shortcoming, every sin, every flaw, God, we thank you so much that you paid for that. We worship you, Lord. Father, we will only know how good it is in heaven. But even the glimpse we see now, we worship you. We thank you so much that you have shut the door of hell in our lives who trust in you. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.